It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Coming up on Central Time, Congress heads to a month-long recess at the end of next week, and their solution to the influx of migrants at the border appears to be at an impasse.
First, the federal government announced today that they're seeking stricter rules for rail cars that transport flammable fuels throughout the United States. The suggested regulations come amid a domestic energy boom, which has seen an increase in train cars carrying hazardous liquids like crude oil and ethanol. That's also led to several high-profile derailments in the U.S. and Canada.
Earlier this month, WPR News reported that rail companies in the state are transferring substantial train loads of volatile Bakken crude oil through 18 Wisconsin counties at an average of 45 times per week. So new regulations could have particular interest here in the state.
Mike Simonson joins us now. He's WPR's reporter in Superior. He initially reported those numbers on crude oil coming through the state. Mike, welcome back to the show.
Thanks. Appreciate it.
Let's get into what we're hearing from the Federal Department of Transportation when it comes to these rail cars.
Well, there's a few changes that they're trying to get, and the probably the most dramatic is slowing the trains down to 40 miles per hour. A lot of the critics of the industry say it should be as low as 20 miles per hour, but they're reducing it from 50 to 40 miles per hour. Another big thing is replacing about 100,000 old tankers. Now, the railroads have been upgrading their tankers, upgrading the design, making them safer since 2011. But as you said, the Bakken oil fields are just going crazy with production doubling just in the last couple of years. So they just can't keep up with making enough new cars. So, which brings us to the third thing is that the U.S. government wants full compliance by the railroads, these changes in place within 2 years.
And you mentioned the boom in various kinds of fuel production in Canada, the United States. Is that why we're hearing interest in these regulations right now?
Well, there have been 11 fiery explosions in different communities in the past year, including one in Quebec that took the lives of 47 people, another one in Castleton, North Dakota, which took out part of a small town because this fuel is so volatile. You know, there's a few reasons for it, but one reason is that it has more gases in it, and another is they don't put stabilizer in it that the Texas crude is put into it. So it's really making the headlines, and people now know that these tankers are coming through La Crosse. La Crosse is kind of like Grand Central Station, and it goes across central Wisconsin to Milwaukee and Kenosha counties, or it goes down the western border counties. I think it's a total of 18 Wisconsin counties have this Bakken crude going through. So there is a lot of concern and a lot of publicity, and you know, everybody's kind of looking at tanker cars pretty suspiciously now, especially if it goes through urban or populated areas.
There are a lot of business interests at play here. The companies that are producing the fuel, the rail companies, the people who make the rail cars. What's been some of the response from industry to these proposed regulations?
About a month ago, I was doing a story about the Sandpiper expansion by Enbridge Energy, and they insisted that this fuel is no more volatile than regular crude oil. That was an industry group who came on that, but I think they're backing off on that because every other, including the USDOT, says this is a more volatile fuel. And so the industry says they're going to take a look at it. There's a 90-day comment period, or make it a 60-day comment period for these new rules that the USDOT put out just today. And I guess we'll see what they're doing. The railroads are trying to do things, but you know, this is really an incredible story. The amount of production that's coming out of Bakken and also Alberta has just doubled and tripled. It was they reached a million barrels of oil a day just last month.
Well, you described for us the path that some of this cargo is taking through Wisconsin, and you reported on this based on your open records request. Does the public, for the most part, know what is coming through their area?
I think a lot of the emergency governments, the first responders, know when and where specifically. There are maps that are now going out, but I think communities really want to know, is there a way that it can be rerouted around it? And this USDOT order asks for other routes when possible to get out of populated areas. But it is so explosive, and it is that you cannot, that once it is on fire, you can't put it out any other way except with foam, or you got to let it burn. And that's what happened in Castleton. They just had to let it burn. You couldn't get close enough to fight that fire. So it's, you know, it's got the potential to take out half a town. And if it's going through a downtown area, if it's going through a neighborhood in La Crosse, yes, folks are going to be pretty concerned.
And I gather that when you filed the records request to find out what was coming through Wisconsin and where it was going, rail companies objected to that. So do you know why they did?
Well, they're trying to keep things. They're saying it's a business secret, and they're calling it a homeland security thing so terrorists can't get it. But they're not saying that exact time the trains are going through, and individual state governments, including Wisconsin's emergency management, decided that the public safety far outweighs the interests, the private interest, the industry secrets of the railroads. But yeah, the railroads, in their letters disclosing two emergency governments of each state, had a threat at the end. The last paragraph was, if you do release this, we are going to take legal action against you.
Now, these new rules are coming from the federal government. Have you heard any response from Wisconsin's congressional delegation on these issues?
Yeah, Congressman Ron Kind has been kind of out front in trying to get more money from the feds for more track inspectors. And Congress was successful in getting another $500,000, which is a bit more than a drop in the oil bucket as far as getting people to be inspecting tracks. He says what the DOT wants happening in the next 2 years, the industry's already been moving in that direction. He would like to see more track inspections, and he would also like to see more track replacement. And he would also like to see that stabilizer that I mentioned a little earlier put in this oil so it isn't so volatile. And that would have to happen in Bakken at the oil fields itself before it even hits the rail lines.
You just mentioned the phrase, in the next 2 years for these Department of Transportation regulations. With these rules out today, what happens next? How long would it take to implement them?
Well, it's a 60-day public and rail industry, of course, comment period. And the final rules will come into effect early next year. And then they've got 2 years to meet these.
So we've seen a lot of increased traffic, as you mentioned, of these rail cars carrying this fuel. Are we seeing as much as we're ever going to see, do you think? Or are these numbers going to keep going up?
No, it's a crazy story. I mean, I've been doing the Enbridge Energy. They're throwing around billion-dollar figures for either upgrades for their pipelines or for new pipelines. And the rail system is clogged, literally is clogged with oil. So grain shipments from farms can't make it to ports, or coal shipments to electrical co-ops can't make it there. And the Bakken oil fields, that's only one oil field. It's really just part of the Williston oil field, which is a much larger system in the Dakotas. So, yeah, we're seeing just maybe halfway mark, maybe more. I mean, how much can you carry? And that's what the question is now.
So we're going to see increased pressure for more pipelines and more railroad cars coming through.
Boy, as fast as they can get them, and as fast as they can build them, and as fast as they can get them permitted and regulated.
We'll leave it there, but I'm sure we're going to come back to this. Mike, thanks a lot for joining us.
Yeah, good to talk to you.
That's Mike Simonson. He's WPR's reporter in Superior.